I was glad when they said unto me.
I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter His courts with all my praise,
and
I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
He has made me glad.
When they said
guys made me glad, you know. Yes. I had kind of a challenging day at work, and I was looking at it, I'm like, no matter how challenging it is, I'm still happy.
Amen.
You know, my coworkers, I know if they had what I went through today, they just would have lost their minds. They've got no balance, no, they're not grounded anywhere. You know, I'm just so thankful to have what I have here. You know, and Amen. I talk to people that have left sometimes, and you talk to them long enough, they'll tell on themselves. You know, they start practicing things that I'm like, you didn't get that from the Word. I don't, and it's obviously not working. Like, you know it's not working. So I don't even know why you're trying it. Like, we say it's better to be right in the Spirit and wrong in your Scripture than to be right in your Scripture and wrong in your Spirit.
Right.
I talk to people that are wrong in their Spirit and their Scripture sometimes. I'm like,
yes.
You're way off. You're just way off. And
it's real wrong.
I'm just thankful to have what I have. So
Amen.
I, go ahead. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give some flowers to the Brinkmans. I just can't imagine Brother Moore any more of a truer asset to this body than them.
Amen.
And I was telling Sister Dawn last week, she had approached me and asked me to do a song with her. And she said that she feels like she needs to do something for God. And I said the same thing, but with all the work that they put in through the years, and for her to say that she doesn't feel like she's done anything for God, Lord have mercy. I told her that was a rebuke to me. But you know what? I'm very pleased and I'm very honored to be able to play. You know, God wants me to play, so we'll do it. And you know what? The one thing I don't want to do is the one talent that God gave me, I don't want to put it, you know.
Don't bury it.
Right. So if I can run with it, you know, I'll give all the glory to God. I will do it gladly. Because, you know, just this little bit that I can do is not even a drop in a bucket for what he's done for me. And so I will gladly give back my talent, and maybe he'll give me another.
Amen.
Amen. Work on that thing.
Amen.
I wasn't even sure I was going to get here tonight, so I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
I'm excited to be here tonight.
Amen.
And I thank God for a revelation. Thank God for a full word understanding. You know, I was thinking this week, I am satisfied, Brother Moore, with what I got.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on one side of the coin, do I want to be more like him? Sure, I do. Can I grow? Sure, I can. But on the other side of the coin, I have everything I need to be what I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do. I have enough revelation to defeat the devil every day of my life.
That's right.
I have the family I'm supposed to have.
Amen.
I have the job I'm supposed to have. I have the gift I'm supposed to have.
Yes.
I may not play, I was thinking about it, I don't play the bass as good as my dad, but you know why? I play the bass good enough.
Amen.
I don't preach like Brother Moore, but I preach good enough.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not a husband like so-and-so, but I'm a husband good enough.
Right.
I really do believe that. I'm satisfied with what God's given me.
Amen.
And I refuse to let the devil tell me any otherwise.
Right.
Can I grow? Amen. Sure I can. Can I get better? Sure I can. Amen. Do I want to be better? Sure I do.
Absolutely.
But standing here today, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
I'm not trying to search for more in that sense. I'm not sitting here saying, I'm disappointed in myself. I'm actually happy. I'm like God.
Yeah.
I'm happy when I look at myself. Because I got a revelation. I got to look at myself like God looks at me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I can talk to you until I turn blue in the face how bad I am.
Right,
but I ain't
right,
got time
right.
for that. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I'm here tonight.
Right,
I'm praising God tonight.
Right in his presence.
I'm playing the instrument tonight.
Yeah.
I got my family here tonight. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to pray to God tomorrow.
Amen.
I have God before me. I'm right where he wants me to be, and I am satisfied with what I got. I don't want to be you. I don't even want your shoes.
I don't even want
to walk in your shoes. I'm happy to be right here in these shoes. I wouldn't trade places with you.
Right.
I want to be who I am. I want to be who God's made me to be.
Right.
I want to be the role that he's called me to be.
Right.
Because I know that role is just as needed as any other role.
Amen.
You can't go without me, and I can't go without you.
That's right.
I couldn't go without Paul, and Paul couldn't go without us. Irenaeus couldn't go without us, and he couldn't go without us. I couldn't go without him.
Amen.
I see that clearly, Brother Moore. And yeah, I know there's a side of this thing that Brother Moore's going to come in here, and he's going to preach a message, and I'm going to say, help me, Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to get better. I believe that too. But I also have been preached to.
Amen.
I ain't going to give the devil any victory.
No.
I'm satisfied with what I got.
If only I had this,
I'd give more. As most churches say, if you didn't give when you didn't have nothing, you won't give when you have all.
Oh, yeah.
Start giving now. Amen. Give what God's given you. You have everything you have need of. I have everything I have need of.
That's right.
I really do believe that because God said, I will supply you with all your needs.
Amen.
So I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen. Sounds like it.
Two song leaders, all we need tonight. We didn't need three tonight, Brother Moore.
We didn't even notice one missing.
Because God knows what he's doing.
Sure.
Amen.
It's just humanness that gets in the mix and says, well, I need a little extra of this or I need a little extra. I'm right where God wants me to be.
Amen.
Can I be better? Sure I can. But you know what? If he wanted me better tonight, you know what he would have done? He would have made me better, Brother Moore. I really do believe
he's
that. And I know it's my choice to serve him, and I want to serve him.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
But if you could see where he's brought me from
right.
to where I am today,
amen.
Oh, you wouldn't be thinking I'm not enough.
Right.
I could be a lot worse tonight.
Oh, yes.
If you see where he's brought me from and what I didn't know about the word and what I didn't know what it was like to be a husband and what I didn't know what it was like to be a father and what I didn't know what it was like to be a worker and what I didn't know what it was like to be honest and what I didn't know what it was like to be a wife. Oh, if you can see where I'm in tonight, you see, you got a good work before you tonight. You got somebody that God's been working on, has got me progressed much further than where I first started.
Yes.
Oh, I used to not be able to get up and stand up like this and talk like this, but I can tonight because God's been working on me. And yes, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
I want to progress. I want to get better.
Yes.
I want to get more information on the same revelation. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm happy tonight, Brother Moore. God has given me everything I've needed to be satisfied with where I'm at.
Amen.
Well, that's a
I may never be able to sing as good as South Carolina, but I'm going to tell you something. I can sing good for God.
Yeah.
I can praise Him with all my heart.
Where's my singing?
He's happy to hear me sing.
Right.
He's happy to see me raise my hand. He's happy me to carry the tune I can carry because I love Him with all my heart.
Right.
Because He's dealt with me and given me what I need.
Amen.
Oh, we got to look at this thing right.
We do.
Yeah. The devil can lie to you and think you ain't enough.
Oh,
you ain't good enough. You ain't done this enough. I'm here to tell the devil tonight I'm at right where I'm supposed to be. Doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. Can I be better? Sure I can. But that's between me and God. That's not even between me and the devil. I do not negotiate with the devil. I'm not going to do what he wants me to do. I'm not going to listen to him what he tells me I need to be. Who I'm going to listen to is the Lord himself. I want to be what the Lord wants me to be, not what the devil tells me I should be. Because that's not even what's going to please the Lord. If I listen to the devil, I'm going to be doing something that God don't even want. He'll have me trying to get knowledge when God don't even want me to get knowledge. He'll be trying to have me eat a tree when God don't even want me to eat the tree. I want to eat what God feeds me.
Right.
I want to be what God wants me to be. That's what I want to be attuned with.
Amen.
See, I can get my own thinking too much. Think about what I think I should be. Oh, I know. I'll talk about myself. I've wanted myself to be a lot more than I am, Brother Warren.
Yeah.
I've wanted to preach a lot different than I preached.
Sure.
I've wanted to play a lot different than I play. I wish I could sing a lot different than I could sing.
Yeah.
But when you realize and you start listening to God, wait a minute, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm His child.
Right.
I'm doing my role. I'm doing my job. That's what you got to tell the devil.
That's how you talk to
in the balance of it all, do I have a desire to be everything God wants to be? Sure, I do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Do I meet everything my desire says? Sure, I don't.
Come on.
But I also know this. The job's getting done.
Yes. Right. Oh, yes.
I'm not going to hold up the rapture.
No, sir.
I don't believe rapture I can hold up the rapture.
No.
God's not going to let me hold up the rapture. He's not let any human being ever hold up what he wanted to be.
No.
When he needed to go to Nineveh, he made a fish. He's always made a way. When he needed to lead the people out of Israel, Egypt, he went and sent somebody to the right under Pharaoh.
Right.
And hit him such a way. Pharaoh was trying to find him, couldn't even find him. God has a way of making sure the job gets done, Brother Moore.
Amen.
He gave Moses what he needed.
He did.
He gave Jesus what he needed.
He
gave Brother Childs what he needed.
Yeah.
He gave Brother Brand what he needed. It's easy for me to talk about them.
Right.
It's easy for me to see
about
that.
You?
But I want to look right here for a minute.
Amen.
I believe I'm right where God wants. I do want to get better. I want to hear His word and say, yes, Lord. But I'm right where I'm supposed to be tonight.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
That's not with rebellion.
Oh, no.
That's not me saying, well, Lord, I'm not listening to you and I want to be what I want to be. I mean that with a sincere heart. That I really believe God's word. I keep His word. I want to do what He wants me to do.
Amen.
Right.
But I'm not going to let the devil lie to me. Well, you could be better. I could be better, but that ain't what God wants right now.
No.
I'm right here. I'm satisfied.
Amen.
I'm doing what He wants me to do. I'm thankful tonight that somebody didn't get up here. They listened to God.
Amen.
Because I got to hear God say, we got in such a tradition, such a rut that we need three people.
Right.
But you know what we did tonight? We didn't rush up here to get three people. That makes me happy.
Amen.
Because I know we're listening to God.
Right.
Because I heard God very plainly tell me that.
Amen.
So don't be so hard on yourself. We're our own worst critic.
I know.
Then you know there's a balance in all this.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because we're the ones supposed to be hard on ourselves. Get better, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Step up, Jeremiah. Yeah.
There's times.
This depends who I'm talking to.
Amen.
If I'm talking to God, Jeremiah, get better.
Amen.
If God's talking to me, I can step up.
Right.
If God's talking to me, I can do more.
Right.
If God's talking to me, I can eat more.
Right.
But you know what? The devil's talking to me. I got a different answer.
Amen.
I'm perfect.
Yes, sir.
I'm spotless.
Yeah.
I'm sinless.
Amen.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
When God's talking to me, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, that can step up. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, that could do even better.
Yes, sir.
But when the devil's talking to me, I ain't got time to talk to him.
Right.
I'm not trying to negotiate the devil.
Oh, no.
I'm not trying to meet his requirements.
Right.
The only person I'm trying to meet is God's requirements.
Amen.
I want to be what he wants me to be. And I'm satisfied with what I got.
Amen.
You know what? I'll never be Brother Branham.
No.
I'll never be Brother Childers.
No.
I'll never be Brother Moore.
Nope.
I'll never be Brother Deskins. I'll never be any of you. But I'm going to tell you what I am going to be. I'm going to be who I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
I'm going to be Jeremiah.
That's right.
I'm going to be who God called me to be.
That's right.
Predestinated me to be.
Amen.
Who he's helping me to be. That's all I can be. Such as I have, give I unto thee.
Right. Right.
Amen. I thank God for that understanding.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Because there's a rest in that.
Amen.
I know how to work and rest at the same time. I know how to listen to God and say, Lord, I want to step up.
Right.
And then on the flip side of it, I know how to be in perfect rest so
much
that I'm not even working.
Yes, sir.
That I couldn't even do this without God.
Amen.
I'm working but not working. I'm running but resting. I'm sitting but walking. I got both sides. It just depends what side you're talking to me about.
Amen.
I want to get better, but I know I'm perfect.
So,
that's an oxymoron, but if you have a revelation, you know what I'm talking about.
As far as,
if God's talking to me, I want to be what he wants me to be.
That's right.
So, but when a critic's talking to me, I don't have time for him.
No, sir.
Because God's too good. He's too perfect. For me to give the devil credit to say I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I would be discrediting God.
Come on, yes.
I'd be insulting God.
Yeah.
I'd be telling the devil, yep, God has not made me who I'm supposed to be.
Come on.
But I'm not going to give the devil that credit.
No,
God's got me right where I'm supposed to be tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad to be able to say that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Then on the flip side, put the devil aside. Come in here and get in that other dimension.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeremiah could do that. You can do that. You know what? That's God working on me a little bit. That's God getting me to the next step.
That's right.
He's still working on me. And as long as I'm in this kind of body, you know what? He'll still work on me.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, too. Because that's all part of the journey. That's what he's been doing since I've started this journey. He's been watching over me, keeping me, directing me since I've been born.
That's right.
In the natural and in the spiritual.
Amen.
He's been keeping me and watching me since I've been born. He knew who I was supposed to be around.
Amen.
He knew how I was supposed to be raised.
Yeah.
He knew who my parents were supposed to be. He knew
well
what kind of background I was needing, because he was going to use every bit of that.
Amen.
And then he finally got me into the Word and got me born again, and he started working on me much more, saying, I don't need any of that. I don't need any of that. I don't need any of that. This is what I want.
That's right.
And I'm like, bring it on, God.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's, I'm talking from the soul for a minute.
Amen. Right, right.
Because I'm not going to kid you. My flesh ain't loved every bit of it. But my soul has said, bring it on, God.
Yes, sir.
I want what you want.
Never reject it.
I love only you, Lord.
My soul.
Then the next day, I leave church, and the devil starts talking to me. I got a different answer for him.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm perfect.
Yeah.
I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
I have everything I'm supposed to
have.
That's right. That's right.
I'm right where God wants me. I can whip every devil that comes my way.
Amen.
I'm just as good as you are.
Yes.
So the devil lied to us. Oh, you're not worthy to be around these people. I'm just as good as you are. I'm just as spotless as you are. I'm just as sinless as you are. I'm in God's will just as much as you are. I have just as much faith as you have. That's how I've talked to the devil. God's dealing with me a little bit. Help my unbelief.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Help me to, Lord, drop that thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
I died daily.
Right.
I just say that to say I'm satisfied with where I'm at.
Amen.
Amen.
I came in here to church and I didn't think I made. You know why I'm here? I'm here to get better.
Yes.
I'm here to hear the next instruction.
More.
I'm here to figure out how to where to step to next.
Amen.
Make it a little brighter to me. Get that much closer to the rapture.
Right.
I'm waiting for the hat to get in the right spot. I'm anxious tonight. Tonight could be the night. I sometimes have to, I remind myself, Jeremiah, I know it may not be tonight, but you know, on the other hand, I come in here sometimes too carnal, thinking it couldn't be tonight, but it could be tonight.
Oh, yes.
Lord, help my faith much. Let's get out of here tonight. I ain't got to wait on anything else. As far as I'm concerned, just get the hat in the right place, and let's get out of here.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a nice night tonight. You know what? I'll wake up tomorrow, believe in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'll remind the devil tomorrow. I'm right where I'm supposed to
be.
Doing what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And then I'll try to make church Sunday. Because then I'll be talking to God.
Amen.
Lord, what do you want?
Amen.
What can I do better?
Amen.
Give me more information. Give me more revelation.
Amen. Beautiful.
But I don't want to be you. And I don't think you should want to be me.
Right, right.
No, and I'm not going to run my home the way you run it. And you're not going to run it the way I run it. You're not going to dress like I dress. I'm not going to dress like you dress.
No.
That's right.
But I am comfortable.
Right.
Yes.
In a sense, what I'm talking about, devil.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And God, I'm even coming with God in that sense. God, I believe I have a revelation with God.
Amen.
I believe I'm where he wants me to be.
Sure.
or he'd change it. I'm not sitting here saying I'm always coming in, oh, look, I'm not what God wants me to be.
Oh, no,
I'm
no,
just
no,
open
no.
to God to be able to change me anytime he wants to change me.
That's right, that's right.
But if I thought that I was so out of whack with God, I'd just say like Brother Ram said it, because I know we don't preach, I'd be praying or something. Help
oh,
me,
yeah.
Lord.
Be repentant.
Get that altar.
Yeah.
Make me what you want me to make, because that's how much I love God.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's right.
If you don't think you're alive, God, I'd be hitting the altar. I'd be praying. Approaching God in fear and trembling.
Amen.
Saying, clean me, Lord.
Oh,
make me what
Lord.
You want me to be. Help me to step up. Help me to be what you want.
Yes.
I'm not good enough. Let me be what you That's how I'd be approaching him.
Oh, yeah.
But I will sit here tonight and say, with the word that's been preached here,
yes,
not because of my goodness, but the word that's been preached here that I've eaten, I feel pretty aligned with God. I feel pretty in step with God.
Amen.
I feel like I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. But I do come in here every service saying, what's next? What's the next word? What's the next instruction? Where are we going next?
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you I'm satisfied, though.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
James is preaching tonight. I'm excited about that, too.
Second service.
I relaxed this week. I started preparing, and I learned I may not be here, and I text James. I thought, the weight is off me.
Yeah.
So I get to, even right here, right now, I'm just enjoying this. I can
sit
down.
Yeah, might as well.
In any moment. I quit in any moment. I get to hear Brother James, but just in a little bit of my heart, I think about this week, I am satisfied.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Because... this church will teach you. The word that comes across this pulpit, it doesn't allow you to give the devil credit.
Oh, mm-hmm. No.
It doesn't.
No.
You come in here with a sad story,
forget it.
And it's giving the devil credit, God will get you.
Amen.
He really will. He don't like that.
No, sir.
Because God is fearful. I really do believe I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I know I can get better, but you got to understand I have a revelation. I'm fearfully wonderful. I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
I really do believe that.
Yes, I do.
I believe that if God wants me to change, he'll change me.
Yeah.
Until then, what you see is what you get.
That's what you've done so far.
I'm as honest as I can be tonight.
Amen.
I'm as good living as I can be tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm as truthful as whatever you want to say, whatever your list is. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
I've always said it. If you think this is bad, thank God I could be. I'd be in a much better, worse shape.
Yes.
If it wasn't for God dealing with me.
That's right. That's right.
And I mean that sincerely.
I know.
I love God. I want to serve God.
Right.
I want to do what he wants me to do.
Amen.
If I didn't have that love, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't have rushed here tonight. I would have done what I was doing and just took my time to get home.
Right.
Amen. But I love him,
right?
And I want to serve him, and I'm satisfied with my calling.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't want to be anything else other than I'm supposed to be, Brother Dustin.
That's right.
I really am satisfied with my calling. I don't even want to be you. I don't want to be as popular as you, or as cool as you, fit in as you. You
Amen.
Be you, and let me be me.
Right.
Stay where I'm at. Stay where I'm comfortable.
Because you know what? That's where the devil will sometimes fight us.
That's right.
He will try to wear you out, trying to make you like somebody else. And I think we should be satisfied with what God's made us to be.
Amen.
I'm happy.
Amen.
You know why? Because really, to be honest with you, I fit in right here.
Yes.
I play my part right here.
Right.
I play my part right there. But this local body, I play my part.
Yeah.
I don't need to be any more than what I'm supposed to be. I play my part, and I'm comfortable there. I'm satisfied being that. God bless you. Good to see you.
Amen. Wow. Leave me something to say. Goodness gracious.
Thank you for that.
Took everything right out of my mouth, right out of my heart. Of course, you can't say it like that. I can't testify like you. But I'm not supposed to. So I'm happy.
Amen.
I'm happy. You know, I was thinking there from part of the service. Been trying to get up, everybody, pretty quick tonight. But, you know, I love bottom lines. You know, I was thinking about a salesman. Salesman come and he'll go all over the place before he ever gets that price.
Right.
Or you know. And the devil, same way. He'll take you as far as you want to go and never tell you the bottom line. But you know, the bottom line is I'm a believer.
Yeah.
Bottom line is I recognize my day in this message.
Right.
Bottom line, I'm part of the capstone. I know who I am. I know where I stand. And, you know, I think about this light and darkness again. You know, the devil, if he talks to you, he's talking out of darkness. You know, you hear a voice coming out of the darkness, that's the devil. If it doesn't match the word, that's the devil. If it's not building you up, telling you who you are, making you beyond what you think you could ever be. You know, Paul said, if I boast, I'll boast in the Lord. You know, so there's a whole lot of boast in me, because I know what God's done to me. I know what he's done in me. You know, and I said a long time ago, I'll just be me. I'm real good at it. You know, can't nobody else be me, so I might as well be me. You know, and whether you like it or don't like it, I don't really care. So, you know, I'm just me. And that's a natural, a spiritual, that's any way you slice me, it's just me. Because like he said, you know, if God's a big God. If he wants to change me, he can change me. He can make me whatever he wants me to be. He didn't raise me up to be anything but me. And you think, well, you're down to a totem pole. There's no totem pole around here. I'm part of the bride of Christ. I'm part of this right here. I'm part of this right here. And he's raised me up to be that. And I've said before, you know, he said, well, you've been here all this time. All this time doesn't mean nothing. You know, because I'm looking for God to lead me right now. He's a moving God. Don't think you're going to get to a point and you're done. No, you move and you grow and you find out things. I need to change that. I need to change that. I shouldn't even try to change that. You know, and you know, God will reveal himself more and more and more to you.
Amen.
You know, and you take what he's given through the testimonies, through the preaching of the word. I take it to heart because it's fine-tuning me. You know, when I come here, I lay it all out on the table. And I said, Lord, you just change anything you want. You know, my thinking, and maybe some of my thinking's pretty sorry, but, you know, it's up to him to change it. If he wants to change it, fine.
Amen.
Otherwise, I'm going to hang on to it.
Right.
You know, because I'm governed by love. I am governed by love. I walk by faith. I'm a creature of light, not of darkness. You know, that scripture, Romans 8:28, you know, those who walk after the flesh, or after the spirit, not after the flesh.
Right.
That's me. You know, for a long time, I read law into that. And thinking, oh, well, I'm not, you know, I don't want to walk after the flesh. I can't walk after the flesh. I only walk after the Spirit. So I like bottom lines. Every time I come back to the devil, I come back to the bottom line. You know, and I don't let him take me all over the place. I've got a pocket full of bottom lines, and I use on him, and they work every time. Because he can't get past it. Can't get past it. You know, every time you come to Jesus, he gave him bottom line, flesh and blood. well, what he said, you know, up in the mountain, you know, I forget right now, just come to thought, but I hadn't thought about it for a while. But, you know, it always comes back. You answer him with the word.
Amen.
And you answer the word, he's got to flee for a little season, but he's got to flee.
Amen.
You know, and that'll run him off every time. You got him with the gospel gun, the song
Amen.
Says. But I appreciate this word. I come here to worship him tonight.
Amen.
I come here to thank him for what he's given me. Because unless I speak, you don't know what he's done for me. If I come in here and just be quiet, you don't know my thoughts. You can't read my thoughts. But you can hear my words. And I always want to have a testimony that it's real. And that he has made me everything and I'm content. You know, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And I have that. And I've had that for a long, long time. Didn't always have it. The devil used to talk a whole lot more than he does now. Before I learned how to hit him with some of these bottom lines, he used to take me for a ride. Like Brother Chilley said, after a while, you let me off here. Just let me out right here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I appreciate the word. I appreciate seeing it so plain. You know, sometimes we blame God for things that he's not responsible for. Sometimes we blame the devil for things he's not responsible for. But, you know, I have a say in this.
Amen.
You know, I can step out into darkness. You know, I can go that way if I want to. You know, I can sow anything I want. I'll reap, but I can sow.
That's right.
And you will reap what you sow.
Amen.
But, you know, he has given us everything we need in this day.
Amen.
The mature bride. The bride that has no backing up in her, has no drawing back in her. You know, he's made us. You know, the Bible says, you know, you walk as creatures of light.
Right.
You know, walk by faith. You know, that's the best thing we can do.
Amen.
We're here. We're in this thing. Don't half step it. Don't half believe it.
Walk,
you know, talk boldly when you get up. You know, don't sit there and say, well, coming up the rough side of the mountain, like they used to say. No, I'm on top of the mountain.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, and he's a moving God, yeah. But I'll follow him.
Amen.
Every way he moves, I can't help it. You know, he'll speak the word. Every time the word comes across my path, it gets quickened by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because I receive it. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, just to quicken the word. If I make a wrong turn, I'll reap what I sow. If I do something I know better, I'll reap what I sow. You know, but that don't change who I am. And it don't change his love for me at all. He knows flesh. He said he knew what's in flesh. You know, and he will lead me. He'll guide me. He'll change everything that he wants to change. And I'll just follow. You know, a follower just follows. You know, when God speaks, I just say, amen. You know? So I'm thankful for this. It means a lot to me. And in case you didn't know, this means a lot to me. It means everything to me. I'm kind of quiet sometimes, and other times I just rattle. But you know what? There's something in me that means something to me. You know, I believe this.
Amen.
I believe this as strong as anybody has ever believed this. I won't be like Brother Childers. I believe it more than y'all. Because y'all believe it like I do. But I believe this thing. And I will be counted this. I won't let the devil cross me out at all. I'm thankful for revelation. I'm thankful for what we're going to say tonight. Amen.
Let's
hallelujah.
Let's sing 130 and we'll get him. Go ahead. One more. Your last one.
Rats, you know, you go home and you think that stuff. And or you're driving home and you think that. My drive home is my praise time. So I get to just rejoice in what I've heard. So I've turned a page. I'm satisfied as well. I get a lot of word here. And one of the things that God's told me to do, I'm going to do it. My flesh would be like, well, why didn't you do it then? And what will people think? And blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to listen to it on any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Belinda wants to get rebaptized. I was baptized many moons ago in denomination. You know, God came here, worshiped the Lord for many, many moons. And, you know, when God says to do it, this is my new thing. This is, if I'm really yielding, I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. I've seen it in my pastor. God bless you. I've seen it. I've seen it in Jeremiah. I've seen it in this body. And, you know, I'm yielding. Simply said, I'm learning to be succinct because my pastor is succinct. And I would like to get baptized. And the reason why is because God told me to.
Right.
That's good enough.
Amen. Sing page 130, bless the Lord.
Amen.
We'll get him up.
All that's within me.
Done great things. Bless him.
name. One more time. The bride will just bless the Lord with all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. We've already had a phenomenal part of the service, Lord. Excellent testimonies, excellent preaching, excellent singing, Lord. Thank you for blessing us with that. As we open the next part of the service, Lord, just bless the hearing the speaker to move out of the way, move any type of distractions. Lord, remember those that we bring to you in prayer. We're bringing the Brinkmans, bringing Sister Kara and their baby, bringing Sister Anna, bringing Brother Trevor. Lord, you know the names, some that we say and some that we don't. You know the spoken requests, Lord. Lord, just continue to bless the body and bless this message this evening. Let it edify us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, Maya, I got a call for you. For your voice. It's good to be here tonight. If you were late, you missed Brother Jeremiah. He had already preached.
Amen.
So there, that happened. That's funny. You know, it's one of those things, if you're trying to get here and you don't think you're going to make it, then you get here and you're like, oh, man, it's praise God, you know? Amen. And in that same breath, like, we all could do that every week. I mean, we're just like, my goodness, I made it. I really made it, you know? I made it in the house one more time because, you know, Satan would like to raise up different things and traffic and this and that and job and blah, blah, blah. All those things can try to get in the way, but we made it. We're here now. We're safe. So praise God for that. You know, I'm looking forward to the message tonight. Got a little thought. I'll be before you as long as God wants me to be, but I'm excited about what he's been giving me, because I see myself in these scriptures, and I'm just excited about it. Pastor Moore preached at Little Bethlehem this Sunday, and those that got to go there, I'm going to be bringing my passage from that, but those that got to go there, he was talking about the book of Exodus, and Pastor Moore was talking about the children of Israel, and he was going through, and he read through Exodus 16, and he read through it, pretty lengthy reading. He wanted to do that, but in the beginning of it, he was setting the stage of, you know, the picture of the children of Israel, and I just kept thinking about that, you know, as I was getting ready for this service, about how the children of Israel, and there's two sides to this story that the church world just kind of glosses over, you know, there, but we can see it clearly, and it got me enthused, and so I'm going to go into that as well. So I'm going to just read the scripture, and then I'll start preaching here. So Exodus 16, verse 13, and it said, "And it came to pass that even the quails came up and covered the camp in the morning, and the dew lay round about the host." Now, just to add context, Pastor Moore talked about this as well, is that, you know, God was feeding his people, and he told Moses, he said, "Listen, this is this is how they'll know that I'm God, is that I'll feed them." And I loved it because even Pastor Moore was preaching down there. He said, you know, normally I preach these things at my church first, and then you guys, then I'll bring it there. And I was listening to that, and he said, well, if the church gets to listen to this or some other way, they'll get it. And I was like, there it is. We'll get it. I'm going to preach it tonight. You know, I'll be doing that. So that was vindication for me. And then listening to what the testimony said, further added to it. So I'm excited. So, but it said, and it came to pass that even the quails came up and covered the camp in the morning, and the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For they wist not what it was. So they didn't know what it was. They didn't recognize the food. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." They had been complaining the whole time for food, and God provided food, and they didn't recognize it. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to his number of persons. Take ye every man for them which are in the tents." Moses told him, said, this is what God's telling you to eat. Gather up as much as you need for your house. Gather up it. If you need for 10 people, gather up enough for 10 people. If you need enough for one person, gather up enough for one. And I looked at that, and we'll get into it. And then the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did made it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating.
Right.
And I looked at that, and I said, the children of Israel, one, didn't recognize the food of God. They didn't recognize it. They, when God provided the food for them, they didn't know what it was. And I thought, my goodness, that's so like today. People pray and pray and pray for food, pray and pray and pray for God to speak. And then when God speaks, they go, I don't know what that is. I don't know what God wants. I can't hear from God. But the children of Israel, same way. And then it got me thinking about the children of Israel. And I thought, my goodness, those people, they were just unbelievers.
That's right.
The children of Israel was full of unbelievers. They were unbelieving when they were in Egypt. They were unbelieving when they walked out of Egypt. They unbelieved as they were walking around the wilderness. They unbelieved the word of God every single time he spoke. And you go, well, Brother Jay, come on. Listen, the plagues came through. There was 10 plagues that came through. They saw those plagues, and that happened over the course of a year, basically. You got the lice, the locusts, the blood, the death. Oh, they saw those things. They saw those things before they left Egypt and still didn't believe God could take care of them. The firstborn died before they left Egypt, and they still didn't believe God could take care of them.
Right.
They put blood over the door, took care of the household, and still didn't believe God would take care of them.
Right.
They walked out of Egypt, got to the Red Sea, Moses parted it, and they still didn't believe God would take care of them. They were walking around the wilderness, hungry. God fed them, and they still didn't believe God would take care of them.
Amen.
You go, Brother Jay, what are you getting at? I'm saying no matter how much I slice the pie, if you're an unbeliever, you can't eat it.
Yeah.
It's never going to be good enough for you. You won't be satisfied. You'll always want something else. You always want this. You always want that. That's what they did with Jesus. That's what they did with Moses. Every time God presented something, it never came in the way they wanted. Oh, my, my, my. Thought about that. I said, they were just unbelievers. They were just unbelievers. Don't try to make them believers. The miracles didn't make them believers. They saw the healing with the snake. Didn't make them believers. They saw the ground open up and swallow up a group of people. Still didn't make them believers. And you come to the church and you go, well, if I just saw Sister Anna open her eyes, it would make some people a believer. Nope. It wouldn't change one thing. If I just saw the dead healed, it would make somebody. Nope. It wouldn't change one thing. Oh, if I saw somebody just get filled with the Holy Ghost. No. It wouldn't change one thing. Because if you're a believer, you're a believer.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. And I love how even it was talking about even through there as they were eating. They ate manna every day. Every day. They ate the same food. Every age ate the same food. We're eating the same thing they ate, the Word of God. We're eating on that unfailing body of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. We're eating the same food through every age. It was God giving them that. And it made me think about it. I thought, man, you know, they call that like a dog diet. And I thought about me and Brother Jeremiah. When you're really serious about working out, your diet gets real fine. It gets the dog diet. Well, you just eat the same thing over and over again. And it's because you know it's going to work, right? You know it's got everything it needs. It's got all the nutrients that it's got to have. It's got all these things in there. It's got all that stuff that you know you're going to need. Remember those cans of tuna, Brother Jeremiah? It had the amount of protein that you needed. All that, God's diet had everything you needed. It had everything you were going to need. It had all the vitamins that you were going to need. It had all the minerals you're going to need. It had everything that you're going to need. And you know what the church world gets? They don't want it. They don't want the Word of God. They don't want to eat this manna. They want something else. I only want the Word of God. That's it. And I, even as they were talking about this, even through Exodus, and I'll keep on reading through here, or just talking about the story there, but even as they got that and they were going through it, God fed them for each age. Fed them for each age. And he told them at each age, he said, now, at the end of this day, don't take anything else. Burn it. Don't worry about it. Don't take it. Don't hold it up. Don't store it. Don't take it over for another day. It won't work on the next day.
Right.
And some people, you know those unbelievers, you know what they did? They didn't listen. Of course they didn't. They've never listened. So they stored it up. And they woke up and said, why does it stink? What's that horrible smell? Where are these worms coming from? Why is this manna get so spoiled so quickly? It's never done that before. God said, you didn't listen. I told you this food for today won't last for tomorrow. But there was going to be coming a day, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, where God would set something up that we wouldn't have to be doing. Because when you had to gather the food, that was work. They had to work to gather the food. They had to work to get the food. They had to work for their household. They had to work for it. They had to go out there and get enough for their house. They had to work for it. Till the ground, grab it up, get it all together. But there was going to come a day where we're going to have somebody else that did all the work. See, I love it like that. Because even over in Matthew, it says, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of itself. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You know, we get so much caught up in these like ideas of we got to do this, we got to do that. What you're doing is not trusting God. Amen. If you think you got to hold on to something so tight, you're not trusting God. Amen. That's what it is. You're holding on to your ideas. You're holding on to your thoughts. You're holding on to your creeds. You're holding on to your traditions because you don't trust that God will take care of you. And so you hold on to it. That's what those children of Israel thought. They thought, if I don't hold on to this food, I don't know if God will feed us tomorrow. If I don't store this up, I don't know if God will take care of me tomorrow. But I know God will take care of me. Amen. See, because when you go through that story in the Bible, you're talking about the children of Israel when they came out of there. There were two people that didn't think like the rest of them. There were two people that didn't act like the rest of them. There were two people that wholly followed Moses every step that he took. See, that's us. That's why I said there's two sides of that story. I can read through the children of Israel and go, not me. But I can look at it and go, that is me. I came out of slavery, went over into the promised land, wholly followed the Lord, saw all the miracles, saw all he did. See, there was a generation that raised up from Caleb and Joshua that wholly followed the Lord. Oh, my. See, because there's a group of people that do eat what God is serving. And there's a benefit to eating what God is serving. There's a benefit to getting the whole word of God. Oh, you're better off. Everything's better. Oh, let's go over here and read a scripture. I mean, read a quote here. This is Brother Branham talking about how, because sometimes we don't realize how few we are. You know, we want everybody to get this. Everybody can't get it. It's not for everybody. Let me go ahead and read this. This is One in a Million, Brother Branham, 1965. Paragraph 54. When Israel left Egypt, there was approximately 2 million people left at the same time. 2 million people, that's a lot of people. Every one of them heard the message of the prophet. Every one of them saw the pillar of fire. Every one of them was baptized to Moses in the Red Sea. Every one of them shouted in the spirit, beat the tambourines, run up and down the bank with Miriam. When Moses sang in the spirit, then everyone drank from the same spiritual rock. They, everyone, eat fresh manna every night. They ate that food. Every one of them. But there was two made the land one out of a million. What was the rest? They all drank the same rock. See, you can't be dealing with church people. They all eat the same spiritual manna as we're eating this morning, but the word test proved them. What happened when the word test came across? See, there's a word test that's got to happen. Amen. You got to keep eating the word of God. There's going to be a word test. Amen. When it came time to Kadesh and Barnea, when they had started over into the promised land, they could not go over till they was tested by the word. Right. And all of them, the other 10, came back and says, we can't make it. What? Okay. So there's a group of people that are eating the word of God that believe God. Right. That group of people says we can make it. Right. That group of people believes God promises. There's another group of people that pretend. That's right. There's a group of people that just want God. They don't even want to serve the real God. God is in their midst and they don't recognize him at all. Amen. That group of people didn't really believe God. No. Because when they went, so the story goes, when they went over to go see in the Canaan's land, they went over there and spied to see if they could take the land. God had already promised them the land. They didn't need to really spy, so to speak. God had already promised it to them. God had already promised them that land. He had said, this is yours. Where you step your feet will be yours. And so when those people went, when Joshua and Caleb went, they said, yes, we can take it. God's already promised this to us. Yes, we can take that land. The other people said, no, I haven't been growing in the word. I haven't been growing in my faith. I haven't been growing in this message. See, there's got to be some progress to this thing. Oh, it's okay to come in here and doubt yourself in the beginning, but by the end of the service, you should be turned on and enthused and ready to take the wall. The more you come in here, the stronger you should get. It should be building to a rapture. It should be building to that you get that rapturing faith, that you say, if I got to walk through the wall, I can do it. If tonight be the night, it can be the night. But see, there's churches that are out there that are eating on old manna. And not growing at all. But we're growing. Amen. Growing to the point where when we get over to Kadesh Barnea, that was the word test. Can you cross over into this land of rest? Oh, see, the church world wants to work. They want to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again because that's in their works and they can see that they're doing it. But when it comes to just wholly trusting the Lord and resting and saying, Lord, you got it. They don't want that. See, that's what happened even through through when Moses was feeding them. It got to the point where it came up for the Sabbath. And he said, on this day, gather in abundance. Gather in abundance. Gather all you can get. Take as much. Take more. Take more than you need. Store it up. Because there's going to be a day of rest where you won't be doing any servile work. You won't be out here trying to gather. You won't be out here trying to get. You won't be out here trying to save. There's going to come a day where you're going to just have to sit and rest.
Amen.
That day is right now.
Amen.
They want me to do the work. I can't work no more. I'm sitting here storing and eating on the unfailing body word of God. I have food in the storehouse. It's an abundance that I eat. Oh, I'm not over here mincing my words, hoping that I get it, hoping that I have it. I don't have to go back out there and work for something else. The work's been done.
Amen.
I'm sitting in here now on that Sabbath day, so to speak, just resting. Oh, my. See, the church world don't even know how to rest. They make Sunday their hardest day. We come in here to rest. I come in here to get a peace. And I don't, you know, so like I said, like those children in Israel, there's a group of people that I can identify with. Oh, I came out of bondage. I came out of slavery. I came out of all this church world suggestions that they put this on you, put that on you. Those people... Let me tell you how bad it was. They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to slavery. They said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. At least when we were in Egypt, they did beat us. They did kill us. They did do these things, but at least we had a bed to lay in. I'd rather be free. I'd rather be free than any of those worldly pleasures. I'd rather be free to be able to just worship God in spirit and truth. I trust that God's going to take care of me. I trust that God's going to feed me. I trust that God's going to provide for me. And guess what? I'm just walking this way till I get to the promised land. This isn't even my final destination. See, those children of Israel, the wilderness was their destination. So that's probably why they did get upset. That's probably why they did. But Joshua and Caleb knew they had a promise. See, I got a promise. If this world was my home, yeah, I'd fight for it. Yeah, I'd look around, but this ain't my home. I'm not staying here. This world is not my home. I'm just going through this wilderness. I got a promised land that's waiting for me.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
See, this church world, I have you looking around here trying to put their things together and try to save this place. I'm not trying to save this place. I'm trying to get out of here.
Amen.
I'm trying to get out of here. That's Joshua and Caleb. When the first chance they got to get out. They were old by then. See, when Moses did the plagues, when he was 80, and so 40 years in the wilderness, 120, so they were older by then, so 60, 70 years old, because they served him in the youth, so they were young kids following him. Even Joshua said, I served him when I was youth. Caleb, an old man, gets over there, and he says, I want my mountain. I want my mountain. Caleb, you sure you can fight him? You sure you can do this? No, God promised me. I want my mountain. If he said I can have it, that's what I want. He said he can take care of it. That's what I want to do. See, that's, Brother Jay, are you sure you're going to the marriage supper? Yes, I want my mountain. Don't take that from me. Don't try to over-spiritualize that for me. I'm going to a marriage supper. Oh, I know that my loved ones are going for me. See, there's people that don't eat the word and they don't grow. You come here, service after service, and you got the same problems you had last time. Come here, service after service, and you're just as weak as you were before. What happens when that word test comes on? What happens when you got to get a little bit of adversity? Let me see what happens when God squeezes you a little bit. Let me see what fruit comes out of you when he squeezes you a little bit. When you get to Kadesh Barnea and you see the giants and you see this and you see that. What's that word test? That's what happened to the children of Israel. They had to go through that word test. It was great that you were eating. It was great that you saw the miracles. It was great that you followed it. But we still got to do a word test.
Amen.
We still got to do a word test to see where you're at. What are you going to do when God says go forward?
Right.
Are you going to say, no, I don't know if I can do it? Or are you going to say, I'm more than able? More than able.
Right.
Your word says I can do this.
Right.
Oh, you talk about a bottom line. God said. That's the bottom line. God said. Oh, are you worthy? God said I'm worthy. Are you justified? God said I'm justified. Are you sanctified? God said I'm sanctified. Oh, my. See?
Amen.
We get caught up in so much other junk.
Yes, sir.
That you should forget that God's been feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. And I love that. I even like that analogy that through the ages, they had to work to eat. They had to gather that. I'm not working to eat. Not now. There's food in the storehouse. There's no more servile work. I'm not trying to gather. I'm not afraid that I don't have enough. See, there's people that don't think they'll have enough. They're afraid. They're afraid. I don't serve God out of fear. I serve him out of love. I love this thing. I walk by faith. And every step that I take, all my footsteps are ordered. Matter of fact, I even love how Joshua even said it. He said, as God was with Moses, he'll be with me. Amen. See, that's different. That's different than the church world. They go, well, I hope he shows up. Oh, no, no, no. See, Joshua didn't even stagger once at the promises of God. He just kept walking in the word. When I watch God take care of Moses, I know he'll take care of me. Amen. I got the same God that Moses got. That's the same way I walk through this thing. If God took care of Paul, he's obligated to take care of me. If he took care of Brother Branham, he's obligated to take care of me. If he revealed this to Brother Childers, he's obligated to reveal this to me. The same God of Brother Childers is here right now. Oh, I like to throw that on the devil's mustache every now and again. One of the most revelated men we've ever met. The same God of Pastor Moore is here right now. See, I like to throw that on there because every now and again you'll get in your little isms and schisms thing. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I need to go get somebody. Come on. See, Brother Branham had that story where that boy got hurt, and they didn't have time to go get Brother Branham. They didn't have time to go get somebody else. That God that you have, that believers. Hey, we're believers. Let's stand in this thing together. Oh, you may be at school and this and that, and you got to have that same God that's there has got to be in there. The same God that's here has got to be in there. That's what you got to have. You got to have that same revelation that, oh, I may not have time to get past more on this. I'd love to have him fix this problem. I'd love to have a second look at it. But I got to speak for myself. The same God that was in Moses is here. You know what happened when that was when Joshua was at the water? He was trying to part that water. Same God with Moses. The God of Elijah's right here. That same God. Go forward. And that water just had. And they talk about the story in the Bible that as those priests were walking in the water. Water didn't part when they walked in it. It parted after they got a little bit in there. Moses, he was dealing with so many unbelievers, they had to go across on dry land. That's how many unbelievers he had. They wouldn't have stepped in the wet water. They wouldn't have stepped in the water. Matter of fact, they were sitting there looking back saying, you brought us out here to die. Here comes Pharaoh. Had they really trusted the Lord, they said, which direction do you want us to go? Which way are we supposed to go? Through the water, through the mountain, whatever you say, Lord. That's how Joshua's people, that whole group of believers, just started walking. They got a little wet. That's more faith than those unbelievers.
Amen.
I think sometimes you need to get a little wet.
Yeah.
A little wet. Step out there. Step out even when you don't see it all.
Yeah.
That's really faith.
Amen.
Step out there when you don't see it all. Just step out on that thing. You've been eating the same manna I'm eating. Step out there on that. You're eating the same manna Pastor Moore's preaching. Step out on that.
Amen.
Oh, this manna is not failing at all. It gives you everything you need. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, this thing that I'm giving you, you'll never thirst again. Oh, my. We got some good eating in here. You got some good eating in here. We can go over to the Old Testament and talk about, you know, that the types of the Israel and coming out of Egypt. That's just a type. That's just a type. But it just shows that everywhere God moved, the people never got it. Even when Jesus was born, he wasn't born how they wanted him to be born. He wasn't born where he was wanted to be born. They had a misinterpretation. They thought he was going to be the prince of the Jews, and he was going to come down in his chariot and do all these things. Yeah, they thought he was going to lord over everything. That's why they wanted to kill the baby. That's really why they wanted to kill him. If they didn't know he was just going to be doing church stuff, they would probably just left him alone. But they didn't know how he was going to be the king. Because they didn't know how he was going to be the king. Caesar wasn't there trying to kill Jesus at the last days when it was towards the end. Just one of his little minions, Pompous Pilate. It just shows you that they just thought so little of him. Even the soldiers that were beating him, they thought so little of him. But in the beginning, before he was born, they didn't know what his role was going to be. That just shows man to put their own idea on things. They get confused all the way around. They get confused on what God wants to do. They get confused on what God wants to say. They can't hear from God. When God speaks, they go, I don't know what this is. Just like the children of Israel. Is this food? Is this manna? When is this? That's what God commanded us to eat. What we're eating right now is what God commanded us to eat. It's the eighth day message right now. It's the final voice to the final age. I'm not waiting for another prophet. I'm not waiting for another messenger. I'm not waiting for another revealing. I'm not waiting for the suns to open up. I've got everything I need to get the job done. Matter of fact, Brother Branham even said, he said, I don't see one scripture that's left to fulfill for the bride to get out of here. So yeah, Brother Jeremiah, I'm satisfied with what all I got right now. I got the full word of God right now. I don't have it in part. I don't have it in this. I'm not even working for it. See, I know how Satan will try to put that on you on the other side. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. Even Pastor Moore said it. He's talking about how people take that and mess it up and misconstrue it. And they'll say, well, I can rob a bank. You can. You certainly can. You'll just be a believer in jail. That's all. That's it. You'll be no earthly good to anybody. See, sometimes we do dumb stuff and try to blame it on Satan. I was watching some video or something. Some guy said, we'll go out and play in the rain in 20-degree weather and blame Satan for the flu. You're just being dumb. You're just being dumb. You come in here and get good advice. God tells you common sense wise on how to do things, and you just don't even do it. That's fine. That's your fault. You're going to reap what you sow, like Brother Don Deskin said. You don't pay your bills? Yeah. Probably going to affect you. That's just is what it is. That's just is what it is. That doesn't have anything to do with this. You being a good worker would be great. That would be awesome. If you had a good example, if you had a good life, if you were salty that people could come to you and get advice, that would be great. And it would benefit your home. But if you don't, it has nothing to do with the Word of God. It just shows you're not listening to the whole Word of God. That's all it shows. You're just picking and choosing on what you want to eat. You got to be on that dog diet. I need you to eat everything we're serving. I hate to say it like that, but that it's true. If you got a dog, you can't just feed it anything. It messes it up. It just messes it up. The food's certain for the teeth, certain for the digestive, certain for the coat, certain for all these things. You got to eat the right things. You come in here and eat the wrong thing, it's going to mess you up. You're going to go out here talking funny. You're going to go out here walking funny. You're going to go out here messing things up. You're going to start to mislocate, misquote. You're going to come in here and say, well, Pastor Moore said I could. Why are you the only one doing it then? If the whole church heard that same message, why are you the outlier? Why does it only make sense to you? And when you try to repeat it back, it doesn't make sense. You couldn't even tell Pastor Moore. See? I see people do that all the time. I see people do that all the time. I had, my mom knows I'm not lying. I had somebody one time, they're getting in trouble. Just a knucklehead. Just getting into trouble. And they said to me, now they hit and miss church. They said to me, I'm just like Brother Childers. Said, what? What'd you just say? Now here we are, we're sitting. Cops are here. Mom, you know what I'm talking about. Cops are here. Cops are there. We're dealing with stuff, just junk. And he's like, I'm just like Brother Childers. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you just say you're like Brother Childers? What? Are you serious? That just shows. In their own mind, people put these things in there. They'll go, yeah, I just want love and respect. And it's like, I think you're quoting, you're misquoting here, bub. You're mislocating. You're misplacing. But you'll do that. People do that all the time. Pastor Moore said, I won't run my house like he runs his house. Well, there should be some similarities. There should be some things that tie in. There should be some things that look the same. Oh, yeah, you might not talk to Clarice like I talk to Sister Courtney. Fine. But your kids probably should be respectful. They should understand what the house of God is. They should understand what the deacons are. They should know what your priorities are. They should be able to trust you. They should be able to see that you're consistent. There should be some similarities. Amen. If we're all eating the same thing, it should be some similarities. Amen. Oh, I don't want you to be the same. I'm saying there should be some similarities. We're all a part of the family of God. Pastor Moore was even talking about that DNA. There should be some similarities in our DNA that makes me look a little bit just like you. Oh, I got a daughter and she looks just like me. With the DNA. I don't have the hair she's got. I'm not built like she is, but that's my daughter. And you can tell it. When you look at her and you see me, you go, you spit her out, boy. I sure did. There's some similarities. Amen. There's the sons and daughters of God should look a little bit the same. You're over here eating the same food I'm eating and don't look like me. I got a reason to doubt whether you're picking up what he's putting down. Because I know I'm picking up the word of God. I look just like my daddy. Oh, I love how even Brother Jeremiah said, he said, there was a time I couldn't get up and talk like this. But guess what? He looks just like his daddy.
That's right.
Pastor Moore sounds just like that. We sound just like that. Amen. As a body of believers, we should all have that same thing. Yes. That's how even Brother Don Deskin say, leave a little bit for me. Why? Because you're going to sound just like your daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, my, my, my. If that's not happening to you, what are you eating?
Amen.
You should be eating on this same manna that I'm eating.
Amen.
It should be turning you on like it's turning me on. You say, Brother Jay, I won't be able to testify. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm saying that the word of God should be turning you on like it's turning me on. It'll manifest itself in different ways. Maybe you're like Sister Mel and you just stand up in the beginning of service and just wave your hands and sing. She normally never does that. But now she's like, I'm getting out of my way. I'm just going to enjoy the word of God and get in the right atmosphere, get in the right spirit. Let me learn these songs and sing along with you. That's just a manifestation of it. Oh, my, my, my. It may be like how Brother Warren said, you know what? I don't want to waste my talent. God gave me a talent. He probably didn't tell Brother Warren he could sing. He said, Brother Warren, you got the trumpet. Don't waste your talent. Come in here and give God all you got. Play with all your heart. Don't worry about anybody else. Play that song for God and just do what God's calling you to do. Those are different manifestations, but we need them all. I need Brother Jeremiah, just like I need Skyler, just like I need Pastor Moore. I need it all. But guess what? When it's all in harmony, it all should look the same. Oh, my, my, my. It should be tied in together. Oh, that's why they can hear us and know what, that we're saying the word of God, because it sounds just like them.
Yeah.
Brother Branham even said, he said, if Paul made it, I know I'm going to make it. I preach what Paul preached.
Yeah.
Oh,
amen.
And then Pastor Moore, you were talking on Sunday. You said, and I had never really thought about it, but I'm going to say it here to the church. Pastor Moore was talking. He said, or he was preaching in Little Bethlehem. And he said, there's people that go, say, oh, I only say what Brother Branham said. Okay. Well, if you only say what Brother Branham said, then you're a parrot. You don't have an understanding on it. You're just repeating. Repeat and repeat. You're just repeating. You have no revelation on it. Because even if you repeat it, what Brother Branham said, he said, you brothers get this, and you break it down. That's not repeating. That's breaking it down. If I've got a problem to solve, and I know how to solve it, I can't just keep telling you the problem over and over again. The problem, the problem, the problem. I got to be able to break it down.
Amen.
Oh, that's like people that, I was cracking myself up. That's like people that use the word in the definition of the word. That doesn't make it the definition. You got to have an understanding of that. You can't use the word that you don't know what it means in the definition of the word that you're trying to describe. It doesn't make any sense. That's what they do. They'll get the word of God and go, revelations, revelations, revelations. I'm going to need you to break that down a little bit, bub. What is it? Where'd you get it? Where is it tied in from? Who told you that? Where'd you get that from? Because if you just got this from your reading, it's not revelation. If you just got this from your study, it's not revelation. You're going to have tie that back to somebody that preached this to you, and they gave you a revelation. And even then, you won't even be able to explain it. And then I'll know you have a revelation. Because that third pull won't be explained. It'll just be, I used to not know, and now I know.
Right.
Well, when did it happen? Oh, around this time. I used to not see it clearly, and now I see it clearly.
Right.
I used to read scriptures and not see myself, and now I see myself.
Right.
I used to read the Bible and not know that they were talking about me, and now I know it. I used to come to church and hear it, and it sounded like it was going in unknown tongues. But guess what? Brother Jay, it sounds so clear now. It's just an understanding. It's a revelation of a new birth.
Right.
And I'll say, oh, that makes sense. But see, the church world will try to get out here and overcomplicate things. Well, I'm going to preach to you this. I'm going to tell you that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't got to. If you don't have a revelation, you can't even break it down. You couldn't tell me what happened. That's like somebody that never had a baby telling me what's going to be like. Don't worry about it. You read it in the book. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I even love how Brother Jeremiah said it. He was like, you know, people without kids, best parents. I love that example you said. You said you'd be sitting here trying to tell Brother Don Deskins how to raise 8 kids. If you ain't got 8 kids, don't jump in that conversation. You could have 3. That ain't the same as 8. I got 2, and I know it's not the same as 3. It's everything's different. Car seats is different. The car is different. How you get places. You can't even drive 8 kids somewhere. Somebody's staying home. Not legally. They don't even make a car. You got to have a bus. If he showed up to church and not a bus, he illegally got them kids here. Right? But you're going to sit there and judge and be critical and say, well, I would do this. That's the same thing you do with somebody. You look at somebody and they're just doing their best. They're just making it. That's why, Sister Belinda, don't let Satan battle you for nothing. If God tells you to get baptized 100 times. Yeah. Who cares? If God tells you to do it every service, just do it. Yeah. That's what I want to see. I want to see somebody just wholly follow the Lord. Right. If God tells you to do something, that's what I want to see. Amen. Oh, my. See? And I even love how Brother Jeremiah said, and I'll get down here in a little bit. I love how he even said, I've got enough just worried about me. I've got enough on my plate just dealing with this old boy. I got to make time for the kids. I got to make time to be a great husband. I got to make time to be a good employee. But I got enough working on just me. So to worry about you, I don't have any time. I'm out of time. I don't have any time to worry about what you and God are talking about. I don't even care. I wouldn't trade shoes with anybody. I know God talks to me. I know he deals with me. I know he vindicates his word to me. I know he brings it past me. I know I'm the manifested word of God for this very hour. You might be in a hope-so situation. You might not know it. But my faith is strong. I'm like Joshua and Caleb. I've wholly followed Moses since my youth. Yeah. I've been in this thing a long time. More than able to take care of it. Oh, whatever may come my way, whatever my lot is, I know I'm more than able. My soul loves only you, Lord. Amen. Oh, my. See, I don't have any. There is nothing that can get in the way of me serving God. Nothing. And that's even over in Romans. You're talking about Romans. I'm fully persuaded that not death, not principalities, not things present or things to come. See, I like to quote that. Not even things that are present or things to come. I'm putting Satan on notice that no matter what happens, whatever he brings, I'm taken care of. Amen. Oh, my. That's the bottom line right there. I love this thing. I love how simple God makes it. I love that we're eating on that unfailing body of God, because as we go through all these different things and we see what the ages brought, the manna that they were eating, that's the same manna we're eating. We need the same word that they were eating. I don't want to overcomplicate it and think I'm eating something different than Paul was eating. I'm not eating something. We're eating the same word. Every time God brought those quail and the fish, it was the same quail and the fish. It's a quail and the bread. Every morning, it was the same. It was the same. It was the same. It was the same. It was nothing different. The only thing that happened different is when it came time to store it up. He made that word. He preserved it. He put some preservatives in that. He said, this has got to keep. That's what happened. This word that we got now, it's got to keep. We've got a journey to make. It's got to keep. And it's been keeping and keeping and keeping. We've been eating the same message for 30, 40 years, and it's just getting better and better and better with every service. I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger with every service. You ever see those old Baptists? They've been going to the same church all the time, and they still got the same problems from 40 years ago. They still deal with people the same way. They still talk the same way. They still think the same way. That's not me. I'm different than I was 40 years ago. I'm different than I was 40 minutes ago. I've been growing in this thing, progressing in this thing. My faith is so strong now that I'm saying, where's my mountain? And I won't be satisfied till I awaken his likeness. Oh, I get it on one side, like Brother Jeremiah said. I've got everything I need when I'm talking to Satan. That I got everything. I'm more than able to do whatever. But when God calls for me and says, Lord, I won't be satisfied, though, till I awaken your likeness. That's my real goal. Oh, my. And the preaching is for the perfecting and the edifying of the saints. That's what the ministry does in love. It does it in love. In love we get this word. This thing ain't to browbeat you. This thing is coming across in love. If I ever said a message that offended you, I'm sorry. I like to be able to say that. Now you can't hold it against me. Now if you do, that's your fault. I've already apologized. But I believe this thing like I believe it. I'm bringing it to you how I see it. I love the fact that God is speaking to me. I love the fact that I can see myself in the children of Israel. Not the unbelievers, but the Joshua and Caleb. I love the fact that I know that I'm eating the same word that they were eating. Because what got them through is the same word that's going to get me through. I love the fact that I can pick up the word of God for this hour. Because there's people that don't even know that God had different hours. There's people that don't know that God is getting this body out of here. There's people that come to church and don't realize that time is up now. Saving time is over. There's people that go to church and they're still trying to save. Saving time's over. There's no more work like that. That time's over. You go, well, Brother Jay, where'd you get that? When the seals were open. The seals haven't been open. You need somebody to open the seals. When the seals get open to you, you get to see the whole plan of God. You see the full plan of redemption. You see what he was trying to do. And you know what God's plan was? To build a body. When he built that body, he opened, took those seals off and showed you all that he was doing all through the ages to show you what he was doing all that time to say, now my bride is complete. And what is he going to do? He didn't build that bride just to sit there. He wanted to be with that bride forever and ever. So what is he going to do? Just like, that's why this is just a type. He got that bride. Gonna take it to, we married here. We're going to go to a marriage supper. That's going to basically be like the, and then we got the 1,000-year reign. We got the honeymoon. And you go, well, what is that? What happens when you know that? That should give you rest. Because now guess what happens during that time period that people like just gloss over? The tribulation happens. We won't be in the tribulation. See, there's church worlds that preach that you're going to be in a tribulation. Get your body right. Get all this right. Get your money right. Get this. No, I won't be here for that. I won't be here for that. I'm not trying to build a house in the wilderness. I'm going over into the promised land. I'm not trying to stay here. Y'all walking in circles for 40 years. I've been walking with the Lord every day. I've been moving and walking with God every step. I'm not going in circles like they're going in circles. I'm not standing still like they're standing still. I truly believe God. And all I've been doing for the last 40 years is getting stronger and stronger. So that way when I get to that Cadiz Barnea, that word test, I can say, yes, I can take that. Yes, we're more than able. That's what God's been doing with this bride every single time. We've been progressing and progressing. There was a time period where people didn't know what God's plan was. So they weren't able to say, yes, I'm more than able. They didn't know the whole plan. They didn't know what God wanted to do. They didn't even know they were part of the ages. But we see all the ages. We see their whole plan. If we could talk to Martin and go, come on, you got this. Luther, don't worry. Don't you worry about it. Lay your head down. Believe him, brother. You got this. He's already seen you as a finished work. If we could have those words of encouragement for the messengers through the ages, how much more encouragement could we have for one another that see this mystery not as a mystery anymore? Oh, I love this thing. God bless you.
Appreciate you stealing my message. I told Jeremiah in the back, I said, that man is a thief. But he got it. He got it right. You know, we are eating and growing. And that's what I titled your message. And, you know, we're eating and growing. At least, well, we are.
We are. Amen.
If you are eating and not growing, that's a defect.
Yeah.
God doesn't make junk.
No.
And if you're not eating and not growing, that's a defect. And so if you're coming under the Word of God, constantly coming under the Word of God, and never growing, that means you're not eating. Or if you're eating and not growing, that just means you're doing what do they do when those girls would go and they eat the food and they go and throw it up? What do they call that? Bulimia. That's what some people do. They come to church and they hear the word and they eat it while they're sitting here and then they go home and go. You say, I never thought of that. That's what they do. They don't really believe this message. They swallow it. But the moment they get out from under it, you say, I don't physically do that. You spiritually do. You know why I know that? Because you don't grow. You come around the circle with the same one. You're just like the children of Israel. Do you know that was only a 10-day journey? It was not. What? Huh? 40-day journey. It was a 40-day journey. 40-day journey to the promised land. Jesus fasted that long. You could have made it in 40 days. But because they were bulimic, they didn't believe it, full of unbelief, Every time Moses turned around, gave him problems, gave him a hard way to go, complained the whole way. They get one thing, they complain about something else. They're down in Egypt complaining about the bricks. Then Moses got them out of Egypt, and then they saw the dust cloud of Pharaoh coming, and he's like, Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die? And Moses got them across the Red Sea, across the river, got them on the other side, and then they got over there, and they're like, Moses, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We need water. Then here comes a water. A rock followed them. Show you how much God loved them. A rock followed them for 40 years through the wilderness to take care of those whining, unbelieving people. So they got water. And Moses, we're hungry. Then he brought bread, quail, fed them, took care of them. But it shows you that they never really followed, they never wholly, fully followed Moses, because everything Moses told them that God told them to do, they always messed it up. He told them only to take enough for one day. They took more than enough for one day. Then he said, well, okay, on the sixth day, you take enough for 2 days. And they run back to Moses. Moses, they're trying to collect enough for 2 days. Moses said, that's because God said it. So they were never believing Moses. They never listened. And you can sit in this church all you want, but if you never grow, then something is seriously wrong with you. If all you do is whine and cry all the time, and every time you get up out here, well, it's so hard. This is a rough way. You know what Joshua and Caleb, those two guys, you know they look cross-eyed at the people. Every time they turn around, I was sitting there thinking, I said, you know, they could not put one finger on Joshua and Caleb ever disagreeing with Moses. Never. Never drug their feet. Never had a negative testimony. Never, never, never did anything outside of what Moses pointed them to do. Amen. When it was time to put blood over the post, Joshua was like, I'll help. Yep. No problem. Right. I know I'm going to get dirty, but that's okay. Got out there, took them down there, got over there to where was that? The Jericho. Got them down to Jericho. Sent the spies in. Sent 12 of them in. 10 of them come back. Well, it's a nice place, but we're just like grasshoppers. We're just little. We can't do this. Joshua Kelly looked at them like, what are y'all talking about? We're more than able to take the land.
Amen.
See, they couldn't put their finger on Joshua and Caleb the whole time they walked with Moses. Because all they had was a positive testimony.
Amen.
What about you? Can I put my finger on you? Are you whining? Are you wholly following the word?
Amen.
Or do you just have enough to get food and water and quail and bread and keeping yourself satisfied and pampered? This is a time that we are be of full age. This is not an hour for us. We're not just coming out of Egypt. We're in Canaan's land now. Do you know the people that went in Canaan land? They were the believers. They were the ones who believed wholly what Moses brought. They took the land. So not an hour to be a wimpy, sniveling. You got to have fight in you. You got to be counted for.
Amen.
You got to wholly follow the Lord.
Right.
Not just what's convenient for you. The hour that we're living in, God expects you
Amen.
To be like Joshua and Caleb.
Right.
We can take the land.
Amen.
We can do this. We've got this.
Right.
We're not sitting here, oh, I don't know. you know, I started not to come to church today. Y'all know I don't go along with pampering. If you don't feel like you need to come to church, stay home. Joshua, you know what happened when Moses had a group of people like that? They woke up, and they were at Kadesh Barnea. They woke up that morning and said, oh, I don't feel like going today. Moses like, okay, see ya. They left them. Right in their unbelief. And I'll leave you in your unbelief. This is time you got to be counted for. Young and old. Amen. Men and women. Amen. Brothers and sisters. Amen. Preachers and laity.
Amen.
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 Preachers ain't the only one that went in the land. Everybody went in the land.
Right.
If you got in the land, you had to go. You had to get up and go. You can't say, yeah. Go tell me what's up. No, you got to go. And if you drag your feet, you'll sit on the other side of Kadesh Barnea yourself.
Right.
Because I ain't standing. I'm wholly following the Lord. I'm going to stay right where the pillar of fire is. I'm going to walk when he says walk. I'm going to move when he says move. When God says stop and pitch your tent, I'll stop and pitch my tent. When God says time, you might have just got your tent up because you might be a little slow because some of y'all are slow. You're slow and listening to God. Well, I want to do my thing. Well, I don't know if it's God. Well, I got an idea. Well, I got, and you're going to slowly serve God. Go on with your bad self. You look up and see the dust of the children of Israel. This, we are not waiting on you to figure this out. Not now. You're going to get with this or you're just going to be left in the dust.
Amen.
He said, well, you're doing, that was a good message, Jay preached. Why you done ruin it? I don't know. I'm just saying what I feel to say. I'm telling you what Jay said just in plain English. I'm doing some bottom line stuff here. You're going to wholly follow the Lord. You're going to get with the children of Israel or you're going to be left behind.
Amen.
Sitting in your seat. You say, well, I'm in the house of God. Well, that's where you'll be sitting. They thought they were blessed because they were at Kadesh Barnea.
Right.
Yeah, they left Egypt. Yeah, they got out of Pharaoh's hair. Yeah, they crossed the Red Sea. Yeah, they walked through the wilderness for 40 years. They went to church a long time and was left right there. But Joshua and Caleb couldn't put a finger on them. Everything Moses said there, right there. Every time God moved, they were watching Moses. And when Moses moved, even if they didn't see the pillar of fire, they were watching Moses. They said, when Moses moved, I'm moving. Joshua, you know Joshua and Caleb had some conversations. Man, you know these brothers, they're not getting with it. I know, Caleb. But don't worry about them. We just stick with Moses and do what Moses said, and God will take care of that. But don't worry about it, Caleb. God will take care of that. We're going to the promised land. You remember that mountain Moses promised you? Yeah. Just keep your mind on that. Just keep your eyes focused on that. They're going to drop. Watch. They're going to drop like flies. They're going to drop to the left. They're going to drop to the right. And you know what? When it was all said and done, all they had in his hands were believers. The ones that crossed over into the Canaan's land were 100% believers. The ones who took the land were believers. Everybody else dropped off. It took 40 years. It took a generation. But God used them as carriers of life. Sometimes God will use your tithe and offerings. And he has. Keep your church doors open. And you can sit here a long time with your good job and your good money. And then after all, by and by, you don't make it. But the children of Israel wholly followed the Lord. Don't try to do this with your thinking. Don't do it. I like Jeremiah said, if you don't have this thing like you need to have it, you need to come to the altar following your face. Until you get something. You say, well, we don't believe in altar calls. Who told you that lie? Oh, I believe in altar calls. I believe your heart's an altar. And I believe if you can't get it there, get here. Get it somewhere. I don't care where you got to get it, but you better get it. Holy fallen Lord, eating and growing. You have to grow. You have to grow. You have. You should be better today than you were a year ago. You should be closer to God today than you were a year ago. And if you're not, like the old saying says, who moved? God's moving, and you got to keep up with Him. You might get tired of God. You might get tired of doing this thing, this right thing, this going for it. But God ain't going to stop just because you do. God ain't going to change just because you do. This thing is real, and you should be getting better. When I see you stuck, and you're just going round and round, and you never get better, you never improve, you never move forward, I say, there's that circle. Round and around. Israel went round and around for 40 years till they finally died off. Don't do that. Holy follow the Lord. If you don't feel like you're close to God, then you better get moving. Walk a little faster. Step a little higher. Because this word should be making you better. And you should be growing yourself into a new body. That's what we're here to do. That's what this is about. Eating and growing. I hope you don't mind that I titled your message. That's what I was getting out of it. They were eating and they were growing. They ate through the mess. They ate through the ages. You know, they got to the last age, and on that sixth day, God told them, gather it all. Gather enough for 2 days. Store it up, in other words. God wanted them to store it because in the seventh day, there was going to be nothing they got. No, nothing in the field. No quail, no bread. The Bible says, and he didn't read the rest of it, but it says there was nothing to gather. There came a point where there was nothing to gather on that last day. And now we're living in, if you don't have this storehouse, this stored food, you know what they did, the children of Israel, what they did? God told Moses and them to do this. They took the quail and he took the bread and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And when they did that, when they put the bread and the quail in the Ark of the Covenant, it never aged. It never got old. And when you have this message and it's put in the Ark of the Covenant, because remember, Brother Branham's job was to put it in the storehouse. Now, for 6 days, you weren't supposed to save it. But on that seventh day, you're supposed to put it in the storehouse. Save it. Because there was going to come a time that there was going to be nothing in the field. That's where we're at. It's not out there. You're not going to find it. You're not going to get anything better. It's here. But you know what? When the priest went into the holies of holies and reached into that ark, into the Ark of the Covenant, they would go in there and break off a little bit of that manna, and it was just as fresh as the day they put it in there. We're breaking off this word, and we're eating it, service after service after service, and it's just as fresh as it was in 1963 when it's put in that ark. And that's what we're eating on now. We're not finding new prophets. We're not finding a new message. We're not finding a new anything. This is what we have to eat. This is what will sustain us until the body change. This will help you to grow. Amen. If you eat it. And if you don't, it won't help you a bit. God, thank you for something to eat. I think I want to see if there's food in the storehouse. I just feel like that. Come on, musicians. I enjoy that, Brother Jay. Now, announcement on Wednesday, a week from today, Brother Kobe is bringing a minister. I don't know who's coming, but don't be late. Be respectful. Be here. Be ready to hear him, whoever it is. So that's a week from today he'll be here. So keep that in mind. I appreciate Brother Allen opening the door for us on Sunday, and we'll have to get him back up here and have him spend a little time with us. So
We'll do that sometime soon. And it's good to get out and it's good to come in. I told you this is a year going out. And I really feel like it's good. It's needed to go out some. And I'll be doing that periodically, doing that, taking some trips or whatever. I know I got some places to go. But I'm just trying to get back from the Philippines to get that off of me. But I do have some places that I'm have some trips I've got planned. And we'll let you know about that as time comes up for those. But remember this little church? We're now moving through Canaan's land. We're not expecting you to walk around and around and around. You should be growing. And if you're not growing, you know it. You know it. And then you should ask yourself, when am I not eating? Because if you eat, you will grow. Amen. Let's see. What page is that? You got
Pastor,
it?
I don't think we got the other announcements in.
155. What's the other announcement?
June 11th, Brother Jeremiah is going to Little Bethlehem.
Mm.
And July 8th, we got the sign-up sheet for the Wilds trip back there. So get signed up. And we got music practice tomorrow. Kids get the day off.
Music practice. Oh, and also, next Sunday night, we will not have Bible study because it's Mother's Day. So we're not going to do Bible study that night, Sunday night, this coming Sunday night. Amen. In this day, men are in. Are you in G? What are you in? G? G is the right one. In this day, men are in dark. From the true word, many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this our day, a word for the bride, Jesus has sent out of his mouth. The word of God went, spoken to us by God's prophet. For this our day. Storehouse of God's Word.